Good morning. Oh, man, that was a fantastic worship set. Thank you guys to the worship team. Can we give them a hand? That was fantastic. Let's start with some prayer. God, I am so thankful for this group of people, Father. I'm so thankful for this family, God, that we get to call church. God, I'm thankful that the church is not a building, but it's a group of people that you have assembled and are assembling on the earth today. God, I pray, Father, that as your word goes forth this morning, that you would find fertile hearts in us, Lord. God, that the word would just be planted deep this morning, Father. I pray that you would help me to articulate the words that you've given me, Father. And I think of Paul's instruction to Timothy, fan into flame the spiritual gift that was given to you by laying on of hands. God, that is my goal this morning, Father, that we would be able to fan into flame the spiritual gifts. Maybe the spiritual gifts that we've had dormant, that we've forgotten about, God, I pray that you, by your Holy Spirit, would fan into flame our gifts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, as JR mentioned, we are in a series on spiritual gifts. We've been talking about that for a few weeks. This is an important topic. I think that if you haven't heard the messages in the last few weeks, I highly encourage you to go back, listen to those messages, because JR's done a great job of laying really a solid foundation for us here at the church of what we believe in spiritual gifts. I think I have that verse in 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to be jumping around the Bible a little bit today, so hopefully that's all right. But Paul, in 1 Corinthians, he says, now concerning spiritual gifts, he's talking about a lot of other things, and then he kind of switches this topic, and he says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I don't want you to be uninformed. And so this is kind of like, if we were going to put it in modern language, it would say, okay, listen, this is important. I don't want you to be uninformed about what I'm about to say. So back then, it'd be like, okay, what is it? What are you about to say? And I have that kind of a tone this morning, like, hey, if this was important enough for him to say, now, about spiritual gifts, he could have picked a number of things in that sentence to say, I don't want you to be uninformed. But he says about spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be uninformed. So this morning, what we're going to do is I want to catch everybody up. If this is your first time with us or if you haven't been around for the last couple weeks, I want to hit some highlights. And then we're going to talk about you. We're going to talk about how to discover your spiritual gifts. And then I'm going to talk about maybe some next steps that we can take in our spiritual gifts. All right, so you saw in the announcements that we're doing our growth track series again. We do this regularly. So the most beautiful woman in the room, my wife, Leslie. That's better. I heard some laughing that I didn't really approve of. That was better. Her and I do 301. And so 301 is all about you and your spiritual gifts. So we're going to do that December 17th. But I think that this is going to be the largest 301 class that we've ever done. Because if you've done 301 with us, you're going to recognize some of this material, but I'm throwing some bonus stuff in there just for you guys. You're welcome. All right, so I wanted to hit on something that JR talked about last week, because it's important enough to repeat twice. How many people know that in the Helena Valley, there are different churches here? And now I see who's awake. Thank you. All right, there are different churches here, and there are good churches in addition to Mount Helena Community Church. There are good churches in addition to Mount Helena Community Church that believe differently than we do. They are still good churches. So this is something we hit in 301 that JR hit last week. There is a view on spiritual gifts, because spiritual gifts is a little bit of a controversial topic in the church today. There's a view in the church today. There's basically two camps. On the one side, there's a view that basically says spiritual gifts ended with the apostles. Okay? Now, I'm going to give somebody bonus points if you can tell me the name of that belief system. It starts with a C. Everybody on three. One, two, three. That's really good. Somebody said it over here, but they didn't repeat it because they didn't know if they were right. That's true. Cessationist view. The spiritual gift ceased when the apostles were no longer on the earth. The other camp is spiritual gifts are alive and well. Spiritual gifts did not cease with the apostles. Now, pop quiz from last week. What does Mount Helena Community Church believe? Are we cessationists or are we continuists? You guys are doing great. You're doing great. No, in all seriousness, we believe that spiritual gifts are alive and well today. We believe that God has given us spiritual gifts for a purpose that we're going to talk about. But we know that not everybody subscribes to that belief. So if you have any questions on that, I encourage you to listen to last week's message, or if you want to have a conversation with anybody on the leadership team, we are more than welcome to have a conversation. And when I say we, I mean JR. Good. All right. So the first place you'd run into the word spiritual gift is in the book of Romans. And Paul is talking to the church in Rome, and he says this. This is a letter that we've turned into a book. And he's writing a letter to the church, and he says, I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you, that is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. Now, the translation of the word impart to you some spiritual gift, it's a little bit misleading, because what it sounds like at first glance is it sounds like Paul wants to help them have a gift. But if you dig into the original meaning of this sentence, what it actually means is he wants to give them the benefit of his gift. He's saying, I long to see you, this is my paraphrase, I long to see you that I may use my gift to strengthen you. That's what he's saying. So speaking of gifts, happy December, everyone. There are, what's today, the second? So there's about 22 shopping days left, depending on when you open your gifts. How many of you have your shopping done? One person? Okay, three. Candace was like, yeah, I got it done. I was thinking about that this week. I come from a large family, and I remember lots of Christmases as a kid, and I remember a few particular gifts that I asked for over the years, and actually, over Thanksgiving, a few days ago, we were with my side of the family, and my wife reminded me about one of those gifts. This is probably too much information, and I'm probably going to get some grief for revealing this to you, but I'm secure enough with it. I'm fine. Bring it. Oh, man. So, here we go. So, when I was 7, I asked for a Care Bear. Anybody else want the mic? You want to come up here? Let's talk about what you asked for when you were 7. And so I was just fine with asking for a Care Bear back then because, does anybody want to know which one I asked for? Thank you, Robert. I appreciate that. I asked for Tenderheart. Tenderheart was the leader of the Care Bears, people. What is wrong with you? He was the one waging war on hate back then. And I knew that Tenderheart needed my help and support. Yes, thank you. So I didn't really feel the need when I was with my family last week. I didn't feel the need to defend that, nor do I feel the need to defend that with you folks, but I went ahead and did that anyway. So when I was 7, again, you know, Leslie and I were, this is fresh news, people. This is not prepared. We were talking about it just yesterday. It was about 3:00 in the afternoon, and we're just kind of sitting there, and I'm like, I don't know if I want to reveal that. And she's like, actually, I have a picture of that. I'm like, how do you have a pic? You weren't even there. Like, what do you? And she's like, you want me to go? And I was like, yes. So anyway, the next point. Yeah, how you like me now? Look how happy that kid is. Now, my wife astutely observed that year I also received the Batmobile, okay? And then I also received He-Man pajamas. And there's a picture of each one of those. And Leslie commented yesterday that she said, my face was observably happier in that photo than the Batmobile and the He-Man pajamas. Thank you very much. We're going to take that picture down now. So that was a memorable gift, but I also remember gifts going through Christmases where they were different gifts. The ones where I opened them, and actually even some last year that I got, I opened them, and I just know that I had been a victim of regifting. How many of you have ever had an experience where you've been the victim of regifting? Show of hands. For those of you who don't know that word, that means you got a gift that was originally designed for somebody else and they didn't like it, so they thought you should have it. That's what regifting is. So now if we want to get really honest, how many of you have ever regifted? Keep your hands up, please. How many of you have ever regifted to the person sitting next to you? I appreciate your honesty back there. That's very nice. All right, what does this have to do with anything? Nothing. No. The point of all this is because I was thinking about that this week, and we're in the holiday season, we're in the gift-giving season. Our spiritual gifts, I think, are the purpose of a spiritual gift is to be re-gifted. Your spiritual gift is maybe one of the only gifts that you're going to get in your lifetime that actually was designed for somebody else. Your spiritual gift, of course, it's meant to bring you joy, it's meant to bring you happiness, but your spiritual gift was not designed for you. Another way of saying it is your spiritual gift, it can't work in isolation. It can't. I went through you're going to see it here in a little bit, the gifts. It's not an exhaustive list, but it's a list of gifts that we publish in 301. Every one of those gifts, I said, man, can you do this in isolation? You can't, because that's not what a spiritual gift is. It's not meant to be hoarded. It's meant to be given. So think of it like this. Spiritual gifts are given to you by God, designed for strengthening others. That's what a spiritual gift is. I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you, that we may be mutually encouraged. So I want to look at that word strengthen. What does that mean? You might think that it means like you're strengthening a muscle, like you're building something up. And there's another place in the New Testament that appears, and actually Paul wrote it as well. He wrote another letter to another group of churches, and he says this in 1 Thessalonians. He says, we sent Timothy, who is our brother and co-worker in God's service and spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith. That word strengthen, it has an emphasis on your faith. So the point of all of this is spiritual gifts are meant, they're given by God to us for others to strengthen and encourage them. That's what a spiritual gift is. All right. Another couple of little quick points that I want to hit. We have a responsibility, you guys. This is on us. We have a responsibility to discover and know our gifts. Again, we're going to go back to the book of Romans, chapter 12. This is Paul talking. He says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to you, given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. Here's the pattern. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. To show mercy, do it cheerfully. Then again, elsewhere in the New Testament, we see the same responsibility. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received. Now, pause. There's an implication there that you know your gift, right? Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve who? To serve yourself, right? No. To hoard it, right? No. Each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. We have a responsibility to discover and know our gifts. But besides that, yeah, we got to discover, we have to know them. But there's this pattern in the New Testament. They use there's a pretty strong word, desire. We should desire spiritual gifts. We should want spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers. We're going to skip to the bottom. Now eagerly desire the what? How's that go? The greater gifts. Eagerly desire the greater gifts. And then we're going to skip ahead two chapters in the same letter. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. So I know I just threw a lot of scripture at you, but I want to remind you of why. Why is this so important? Why is it so important that we're taking time on Sunday after Sunday to talk about spiritual gifts? Why is it important that Paul is saying desire? Why is it important that I'm saying you need to discover them? There's a lot of reasons. But one of the top reasons in my mind is because that these gifts are designed to strengthen and encourage other people. And as JR mentioned last week, the motive of every single spiritual gift you can get is love. And so one of the biggest reasons for why for me is that we have an honor. I'm going to repeat that. We have an honor as Christ followers. We get to show the world love. We get to encourage and strengthen the church. And I'm going to say this. We get to do it without condition. And we get to do it without agenda. So many times, I think, as Christ followers, we have this filter in our brain, and a filter on our faith saying, well, I'm only going to love you if you believe what I believe. And show me where that is in the Bible. Our job is to love and encourage without condition. Our job is to love and encourage without agenda. And you guys, God is giving you certain gifts to be able to do that. And so there's a fair amount of weight when I proclaim this, because it's like, yeah, this is something you get to do. We live in a world that needs encouragement. Amen? Yeah. We live in a world where the church doesn't always behave the greatest way, myself included. And I need others to say, hey, strengthen. Hey, encourage. It's a responsibility that we have, and it's a great honor that we have to do as Christ followers. So, how do we know what our spiritual gifts are? Let's dive into that. It's a great question. Spiritual gifts, discovering your gifts can be a super fun process, but it can be super frustrating too, just being honest, because it can be frustrating because most of the time when you hear, well, you're going to discover your spiritual gifts, it means you're going to take a test. Then at the end, you determine, it's kind of like a personality test in that way. Then in the end, you determine if it sounds like you or not, and if it does, okay, if it doesn't, okay, well, then you just kind of forget about it, right? That's the journey of discovering your spiritual gift. And I think there's more than that. I think it's a bigger process. I think God would give us a little bit more direction with that. So there's kind of a recipe that we recommend for discovering your spiritual gifts. And there's actually five things that go into this recipe. But before we can actually go into this recipe and look to see what our process is here at discovering your spiritual gifts, I want to talk about what spiritual gifts are not. Because sometimes it's helpful to define something, you have to figure out what it's not. So if you want a good meal, you don't go to Taco Bell. Is that right? Amen. How many of you were in line this week at Taco Bell? All right, well, I didn't make any friends with you guys. So. But I was healthy this weekend. Oh, relatively. All right, so spiritual. I'm getting some glares up here. I just want you to know. All right, so number one, spiritual gifts are not natural aptitudes, strengths, or abilities. So spiritual gifts are not things that we may have learned from those around us regardless of our Christian faith. Many times our abilities are redeemed by God to become spiritual gifts. So let me give you an example of this. I wasn't a Christian all my life. I became a Christian in 1999. So in high school, I tried to learn how to play guitar. And I really tried. A buddy of mine, we would hang out in his basement, and he would have a guitar, and he was a big fan of Pink Floyd. And so there's this opening riff in Wish You Were Here that, oh man, I wanted to play that riff. And so he'd say, well, here, you know, put your little fingers, you know, and man, I seriously tried so hard to learn just basic chords, and I couldn't. I just said, well, you know, my fingers aren't designed that way, and I just kind of whatever. So I became a Christian in 1999. We were part of a small church plant. And at the time, we needed a worship leader. And kind of one of the prerequisites for being a worship leader was that you would play an instrument. And so I said, okay, well, I didn't. I just knew that I didn't know how to play guitar. I didn't know how to do anything. And so the worship leader at the time said, well, why don't you come to practice? I'm going to have a guitar there. And why don't you just see what happens? Why don't you just play along? And I was like, eh. So I was feeling pretty sheepish. I could tell you where that building was. It was sunny. I remember that. I could tell you the room. I could tell you what it smelled like because I went in there and we were doing some songs and I looked at these sheets that had, you know, letters on them. And he says, okay. He goes, I want to show you a G chord, a C chord, an A minor, and an F. And I'm not kidding. I mean, I just can't put much more drama on it. I played a G. and then I played a C, and then I played an A minor, and I played an F. And I played through the song just like that. Now, was I awesome at it? No. But the truth of it is I had tried to do that so many times before I was a Christian, and I couldn't. And then I just go into this little room, and he's like, here, give it a try. And I believe that God, when I became a Christian, I believe God, that was one of the spiritual gifts that he gave me, was the gift of music. So that's why we say it's not a natural aptitude, but God can redeem those things to become a spiritual gift. Does that make sense? All right. Secondly, spiritual gifts are not character traits. JR hit on this last week. We're all called to have character and integrity and display the character of Christ, correct? That's not a spiritual gift. So a spiritual gift shouldn't say he has the gift of peace or the gift of happiness. Those aren't spiritual gifts. Because we're all called to have the fruit of the Spirit. Does that make sense? So spiritual gifts are not character traits. Now, the third one, and we always get a question about this in 301, the third one is spiritual gifts are not titles and positions. And one of the questions we always get is, all right, well, I see that a spiritual gift is pastor, shepherd, yet you as a church hire pastors and shepherds as titles and positions. Where's the rub? That's a great question. The answer is that spiritual gifts often lead to titles and positions, but one does not equal the other. So, an example. Let's just keep that example. If we're looking at the pastor shepherd, if we were going to hire another pastoral position at the church, we as a leadership team would hope that that person would have the spiritual gift, something towards people to help them in his or her role. But, you know, on the other hand, if you come in here on a Sunday morning and you tell JR, hey, I've got the spiritual gift of pastor, where's my office? He's probably going to tell you where your office is. You might be in the other campus, if that makes sense. So one does not equal the other, but a spiritual gift can oftentimes lead to a position, but it doesn't automatically. You know, we have a lot of people in the congregation that have the gift of shepherd, but they're not full-time pastors. Does one negate the other? Absolutely not. A spiritual gift does not equal a job, is what I'm saying. Does that make sense? Okay. So that's what spiritual gifts are not. Let's look at our recipe now. Discovering your spiritual gifts. So the first thing most people start with is a spiritual gifts test. How many of you have taken a spiritual gifts test? Yeah, they're pretty popular. During 301, we had a paper one, and we've since gone to an online test that's super helpful. And so the site that we recommend is spiritualgiftstest.com. Very clever name. And so I'm actually going to, when we publish the message online, we're going to put all these resources on there. So you'll have access to these websites and a couple other things I'm going to show you. So what spiritualgiftstest.com does is you put in your email, and then you answer, I think it's 11 pages of 6. So I think it's like 66 questions on a scale of 1 to 5. 1, you absolutely disagree. 5, you absolutely agree. And here's a tip for you. When you take this test, stay away from the number 3, because if you answer a lot of 3s, it's going to basically skew your results. And so you want to answer kind of to one side or the other. The other tip I would give you is don't answer all 5s, because then you're pretty much Jesus and you have every spiritual gift. So don't do that. The other tip I would give you is answer how you are, not how you want to be. That's really important, because if you answer like, yeah, I'm a little bit of a jerk, but I want to be happy. Well, no, just answer honestly and get a litmus of where you are, and then you can work on those things, and you can ask God for the spiritual gift of non-jerkiness, right? But answer from where you are, not where you want to be. All right, so, oh, yeah, and then when you submit that, you'll get an email, and basically it lists your top 15 spiritual gifts, and then it gives you your 5. And I can't remember what the color coding is for. I'd have to go back through that. So the first thing most people do is they take a spiritual gifts test. But if we're honest, that's pretty much where most people stop. Is they're like, okay, well, I agree or disagree. And I'm going to recommend that you continue further in the process, which is the second thing I would recommend. And these aren't really in order. So second thing, This sounds like a Christian thing, and it sounds like something I should just say in a sermon, but I'm actually serious about this. Pray about it. Like, honestly, ask God. We believe as a church that God speaks to his children today. We get that numerous places in the gospel, but my favorite is John 10. I speak to the sheep, and my sheep know my voice, right? Ask God. So if you get these results, and you say, man, I just don't know, spend some time in the morning or whenever you do that and just say, God, what do you have for me? I believe that you have a spiritual gift for me. What is it? And just journal about it, you know? I mean, a big thing I believe is like, well, if it's important enough to ask the question, write down the answer. So journal about it. Spend some time asking God. The third thing is study the Bible. So JR mentioned it a couple weeks ago that the Bible doesn't contain a comprehensive, all-inclusive list of spiritual gifts. But what we've done in 301 is we have published a list of spiritual gifts that we see in the Bible. And this is going to be super small, I know. But this is the list of gifts that we distribute to you in 301. And I'm going to have this on our website. If you think that, you know, going back to the other example with shepherd, if you get the spiritual gift of shepherd and then you ask God, like, yeah, I think that might be me. Take this list and say, okay, show me what the spiritual gift of shepherd looks like back then. Show me what it looks like to be a shepherd. Show me what the gift of pastoring looks like. Let's see where it is in the Bible and study it out. We'll provide a list of this, but also some definitions of each spiritual gift that can help you. Again, this is not an exhaustive, comprehensive list. This is just what we distribute in 301. So take a test. See where you're at, and then really ask God about it. Pray about it and say, okay, God, what would you have for me? Study the Bible. Two more that I would say, though. Ask others. This is one of my favorite parts of the process, because anytime that you can have a conversation like this with somebody, it's going to be great. Now, I would recommend, don't ask just anybody, because this is a pretty permission question, meaning, not everybody in your life has permission to speak into your life. And so this is one of those questions that you reserve for a select few. But it's a good question, like, okay, what do you see in me? So JR, like, what is a spiritual gift you see in me? Or Leslie, what is a gift that you see in me? What do you see me doing well? What do you see me coming alive when I do it? What do you see? And you guys, it's a great question. And I do, again, recommend have a piece of paper handy, because if it's important enough to ask, it's important enough to write down. And so just have a conversation with your friends that you respect and are a Christ follower, obviously, but to say, what do you see? What's the spiritual gift that you see? And then lastly, serve. Now, I do have to say that I mentioned this in 301, but the point of 301 is not for us to get volunteers in the church. That is not the point of 301 at all, not even close. If that was our point, it would be very self-serving and small-minded. The point of 301 is that you know your personality and know your spiritual gifts so that you can be a better reflection of Christ to your world. That is the point of 301. Now, do we want your gifting and your personality here? Absolutely. Absolutely we do. But it's not the point of 301. And so why I put serve up there is because a lot of times, with spiritual gifts are doing gifts. So, actually, you know what? I'm going to go back to our list here, because I want to give us a little quiz. This is going to be hard for people in the back, but there is a gift on this list. It's going to illustrate my point. There's a gift on this list that happens in every single 301 class. We've been doing this a few years now. And what do you think the gift is that at least one person in 301 has every single class? I'll give you a hint. It's in the first column. You guys in the front are going to have to help, because the print's so small. Faith? Administration? Giving? Craftsmanship? Now, if you guys are smart, you're just going to say every gift, so somebody gets it right. Nobody said healing yet. Who wants healing? I just did an altar call. Evangelism, okay. The gift that at least one person has had in every single 301 class, craftsmanship. Isn't that crazy? like not crazy weird, but just crazy, like I would never have imagined that every single class we have a craftsmanship gift. And I was like, okay, so once we build something, it's going to be awesome. So the reason I put serve on there is because spiritual gifts are doing gifts. You got to get your hands dirty. You got to do something. So if you just know your spiritual gift and you don't do anything with it, you're missing part of it. Yeah, it's useless. Absolutely. So the part of 301 that we encourage is that we usually give you a list of our ministries and we say, hey, if you want more information, let us know and that ministry leader will call you. So for you guys, biggest 301 class we've ever done, if you want to serve here at Mount Helen Community Church, if you're like, okay, I've got this spiritual gift, I've prayed about it, I've asked God, I've asked others, and I really want to try blank, talk to somebody on the staff and say, I'm not signing up for a 5-year cell phone contract, I just want to try it out. And we are more than happy to let you try out your gift here, whatever it is. Now, there's certain ministries that have prerequisites. In order to work with our kids, you have to pass a background check, because we take that very seriously. The worship team, we have auditions. So there's things like that. But all that to say, we would love to have your gift here at Mount Helen Community Church. All right, so next steps. You've taken the test. You've asked God. You've studied the Bible. You've asked others, and now you're serving. What are some next steps that you can do with your spiritual gift? Invest and grow in your gifts. So, like I said, study the Bible, but this is a gift that God has given you in order to strengthen and encourage people. Research it. Study it out. So, and I mean, use all sorts of resources. A friend of mine has the gift of hospitality, and he's been reading how, what's that guy's name? The guy that is a CEO of Ritz-Carlton Hotels. He's written a book about the 5 steps of customer service because he takes seriously hospitality. And so, research your gift. One of the things that I love to do is get to know people who have the same gift that I do, because if they're doing it well, I'm a visual learner, so if they're doing it well, it inspires me. It calls me up is what it does. And so research it, invest in it. But the other, I think there's this kind of like this mindset out there. It's like, well, God gave me the spiritual gift, so I should be awesome at it. I should be perfect. No, absolutely wrong. That's not true at all. So with music, I'm not afraid to take voice lessons because it's like, no, I know that this is a gift given to me by God, but it's still in this vessel. It's still fallible. It's still imperfect. So I want to get good at it. I want to hone it because I take seriously what God has given me. So don't be afraid to take lessons. Don't be afraid to invest in your spiritual gift because it is something that God has given you. And then the next thing I would say is inspect your results. Really? Really? Yes. Your spiritual gift should work. It should work. So let's go back to the other example. If you have the gift of shepherd, but nobody likes you because you're mean, I might have a question for you. Something might be off and we might have a little chat or, you know, we could get you a book or something like that. But your spiritual gift should work. So, I mean, I joke about that, but If that's you, if you have the spiritual gift and you're not seeing good fruit, that's okay. Let's figure out a way that we can develop and invest in your gift so that it is working, so that it is awesome. Again, strengthening and encouraging people. All right, so this was it's a super quick primer on 301, but I have to take you back to the why. I already said it, but it's that important. The why we do this is always love. That is our why this morning. Why should you encourage, or why should you invest in your gift? Why should you take a test? Why should you pray? It's always love for other people. That is the why. 1 Corinthians 12:7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given everybody for the common good. That is such a great responsibility you have, or that we have, you guys. I mean, I feel like I'm beating a dead horse, but I want to get us past our routine Sunday morning this morning that you get to encourage one another. Okay, we're going to say this. On three, we're going to say, I get to encourage somebody. On three, 1, 2, 3. I get to encourage somebody. I get to love somebody. One, two, three. I get to love somebody. This is how, one of the ways you do it is through your spiritual gift. And I mean, if I really wanted to put some weight on you, this is something I believe. Somebody is waiting for you to express your spiritual gift. Somebody in your life is waiting on you to express your spiritual gift. And when you don't, because of fear or insecurity, I get it, it happens, but you're robbing them of that. And I would just say to you this morning, be strong and courageous. The same word that Joshua was given. Be strong and courageous with that gift. All of those gifts take something of you. It takes you stepping out on the water a little bit, but somebody's waiting for that. So, each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. I want to pray as we wrap up this morning. Thank you, Lord. God, thank you that you didn't, we believe, God, that you did not stop spiritual gifts, Father, but they are alive and well today, and that we can use them to encourage and strengthen one another because we are a people that needs strengthening and encouraging, Father. And this world is a world that needs strengthening and encouraging. God, I just again pray for this group of people, Father, that we would fan into flame the spiritual gift that was given to us by laying on of hands, Father, that our spiritual gift would work, that we would just find great joy in it, and that, God, the people in our life, God, would be strengthened and encouraged because of the gift that you have given us. And we ask this in your name, Father. Amen.